Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about some major supply news in multiple areas. We've also got the first customer deliveries of the Texas-made 4680 Model Ys, more news on the Twitter saga, and a couple of the other items as well. Started out with a nice day in the stock today, Tesla finishing up 1.25% though, as it did trail off a bit during the day with the NASDAQ as well, which ended up finishing down 0.75%. Tesla closing at $725.60. So although they haven't been the greenest of days, I think we've started this week off with three green days in a row. So nice to get a little bit of positive momentum so far this week. Of course, we'll see if that can maintain as we head into the CPI report on Friday, which is, again, likely to have a pretty major impact on the markets. While we wait for that, though, we've got some pretty interesting updates today. We're going to start off with the news in the supply chain. And this is a topic we've talked about before previously, actually. And that is BYD supplying batteries to Tesla. So it has been confirmed today by a BYD executive. So Leon Yubo, who is the company's EVP and president of automotive engineering, in an interview today, he said that when asked about Tesla's relationship and BYD and the competitive aspects, he said, quote, "We're good friends with Elon Musk and we will soon supply him with batteries," end quote. So confirmation there that BYD will be supplying Tesla, presumably with their Blade batteries, which are lithium iron phosphate based. Tesla would likely get battery packs from BYD, just like they do from CATL, and use those in their standard range Model 3 and Model Y vehicles. We have actually talked about this before, and as much as this sounds like news today, it's really not. So we talked about this back in January, when a different BYD executive had confirmed that BYD had been contracted by Tesla to supply batteries. So if you're an avid Tesla Daily listener, this isn't necessarily new, but good to have that confirmed. We still don't really know exactly what the quantity or supply timeline would be. So previously it had been reported back in October of 2021 that BYD and Tesla had agreed to a deal. And at that time it was reported to be 10 gigawatt hours worth of batteries. We don't have confirmation on that from this news today. So just kind of giving reference to what we'd heard before. And then around that same time, it was reported to be around 204,000 vehicles worth of batteries. So those were kind of, you know, the previous reports that we had heard. Again, those have been rumors, but the rumors that this was going to be a supply deal have come to fruition. So likely there's some semblance of truth in terms of the order quantity here. At the time of that 204,000 rumor, they had said that mass production was scheduled to start in March. So we're now in June, would have been 3 months ago. And the executive here is still saying that we will supply Tesla in the future. So it looks like if mass production has started, that supply hasn't quite made its way to Tesla quite yet. So we'll see what happens there, but good to have that confirmation. And again, it should be a very similar setup to what Tesla is doing in terms of lithium iron phosphate with CATL. All right, we do have more supply chain news, but I want to shift off supply chain here for a second, because the other pretty exciting news that we have today is on the 4680 Texas-made Model Y. So we've got a quick video here from Spoken Reviews on YouTube, and this person has taken delivery of a Texas-made Model Y. Just a few things that we'll go through here. You can see that the parcel shelf in the rear trunk. We've also got the Monroney sticker here that they've showed, which gives us some insight into, first of all, you can see that this is Texas-made. I know it's really small and I'm actually probably covering it there. Not sure exactly how to clear that out, but it does say on the Monroney sticker that it is Texas made, and the VIN is in the 1700 range. It also notes that, I think you can see there, it was made in April. So Tesla's been sitting on this vehicle for a couple of months, but now ready to start with, maybe you guys can see this. Yeah, it's a little bit bigger. You can see the April there, and Tesla now ready to start with those deliveries to customers. I'm just trying to see if we can get the Austin to show up. Yeah, there we go. So you can see Austin made, and VIN range 1700, made in April, and the first delivery is here now commencing. The Monroney sticker does also match in terms of the estimated miles per gallon with the EPA filing that we'd had seen before, so no surprise there, 279 miles of range. And this would be, I guess it's also confirmed on the display in the vehicle, which he took a short shot of here. He had 220 miles of range displayed with 79%, which again comes out to 279 miles. So obviously the question with the 4680 Model Y, from what we have seen from the EPA data now seeing in the vehicle, is why the efficiency is kind of exactly the same in these vehicles as Tesla's other Model Y vehicles, because we've got the advancement with 4680, we've got front casting, we've got structural battery. Presumably those things should add to efficiency, but we're not seeing that yet. So the question really is, what's going on with 4680s? Are they really, you know, less energy dense at this stage and causing that efficiency to come down, offsetting the front casting and the structural battery? Or is Tesla doing something here from a software perspective that's, you know, limiting the range that these vehicles are showing? So with these customer deliveries now beginning, hopefully we'll see some testing of efficiency numbers that get us a little bit more insight into what's going on there. And then, of course, hopefully at some point we'll see engineers like Sandy Munro and others hopefully get their hands on them to break it down, and hopefully we can learn a little bit more. But definitely an exciting milestone, and hopefully now that we're in the last month of the quarter, obviously Tesla been sitting on these for a couple months and looks like now ready to let them flow. Hopefully we'll see a lot more of these this month. Kind of on a related note there, we did have an update today from a user on Reddit. I think it's username Grow Away Bro. I always kind of like reporting on Reddit stuff because it's modern journalism, but we've got a report here from this person. They claim to be in Florida, yet say that Tesla has reached out to them about their Model Y order and has offered them to select a configuration if they want to take earlier delivery of these 4680 Model Ys, like we have seen Tesla do in Texas. So Tesla may now be ready to be expanding that order pool beyond Texas if this information is accurate. Again, a sign that hopefully the ramp is going well and Tesla's ready to really start getting the 4680 vehicles rolling out. So definitely some good news there. We do also have more supply chain news, as I mentioned here, so we'll move into that. This is an update on Tesla's autonomous hardware. So we've actually talked about this a couple times before, as we've had rumors of contracts between Tesla and Samsung for the cameras and the vehicles. We've got a report here today from the Korea Economic Daily that says that Samsung has partnered with Tesla, or rather has won a multi-billion dollar contract from Tesla to supply the camera modules for most of their electric vehicles. They say this is a deal that's estimated to be between $3.2 billion and $4 billion, according to the sources that informed this of them today. And they note that this is, as I mentioned, for Model 3, Model Y, SX, Cybertruck, Semi. So a deal of this value, let's make sure I don't have anything else highlighted. Oh, I guess I do. We'll talk about the value of the deal, but they do note here that these would be for 5 million pixels or 5 megapixel cameras, which compares to currently in Tesla's FSD hardware suite, the cameras are 1.2 megapixel. So about 4 to 5 times more pixels in these latest generation. And it does say that they're expected to begin mass producing these camera modules as early as next month, which hopefully means next month, but we'll see. The timing there is interesting too, as we now approach AI Day, which originally was scheduled for, I believe, August 19th, and Tesla pushed that back for September 30th. So I think at AI Day last year, Elon said probably around now, when the Cybertruck was originally supposed to be starting rolling off the production line, Elon had said we'd get the update for sort of the hardware 4 suite for autonomy. With the Cybertruck being pushed back, still looks like maybe that's a possibility at AI Day number 2 in a couple of months. So we'll keep an eye out for that. As for the terms of the contract, or the value of the contract, rather, $3.2 to $4 billion. I don't know exactly what these cameras are going to cost. In bulk like this, cameras should be relatively cheap. Just trying to look for some sort of reference here. DHgate lists bulk cameras of the 5 megapixel variety somewhere around $20-$25. You know, there's a lot of different things that a camera can be and a lot of different prices that they can fall into, but if we assume somewhere in that $25 ballpark, this contract at $3.2 billion would be enough for about 16 million vehicles worth, assuming there are 8 cameras per vehicle. Obviously, Tesla could up that. We don't know what the next generation hardware suite is going to look like exactly, but if they keep a similar setup to today, that's probably on the order of where we're looking at for vehicles in terms of the contract that this could supply. So, you know, assuming Tesla continues to ramp, we're probably looking at 3 or 4 years worth of a contract here with Samsung. It does also note that they would be supplying most of the cameras, so there could be some additional supply for additional vehicles potentially from companies like LG. So exciting to see that. And again, hopefully that hints at updates that we'll see later at AI Day. All right, next, kind of also in the supply chain, we've got a little bit of news here on Giga Shanghai, a couple updates here out of China, actually. So South China Morning Post is reporting that on June 11th, so I believe on Saturday, Tesla will be exiting the closed loop system that they have been in for, you know, the last 2 months, said two executives with the working for Tesla suppliers. So that shouldn't really mean anything super material in terms of Tesla's production output from Giga Shanghai, but I'm sure that's very welcome relief to those workers. Hopefully good for morale, and just nice to see things starting to return to normal there in Shanghai. But again, shouldn't mean too much in terms of production, which Tesla, as we've talked about, seems to have already returned to a pretty full production rate, which hopefully we'll learn more about here very shortly, because tomorrow, or I guess overnight really, we should be getting the CPCA data report from the CPCA for China May sales. So D. Kirk on Twitter here reporting that this is supposed to be scheduled at 4 p.m. Beijing time today if you happen to be in China, or tomorrow here if you're in the U.S. Basically, that's 4 a.m. Eastern time, or I believe 1 a.m. Pacific time. So we're coming up pretty close to that. And I don't know if we'll get production numbers with this report, but we should get those pretty shortly thereafter. That's obviously the one that matters most for us. Sales here are not going to be great because obviously Tesla was dealing with production challenges throughout the month. I expect production somewhere around 30 to 35,000 vehicles. So that's really what I'm keying in on. I don't really have any expectation for the other two numbers, which we would get, which would be the domestic sales, retail sales, and the export sales, which would combine up to wholesale sales. So those are the numbers we'll get, and we'll keep an eye out for those and obviously talk about those as they come in tomorrow. All right, next year we've got an update on Twitter. So we'll go through this pretty quick. I know people don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but we do have some news here that Twitter does plan to comply with Elon Musk's demands for internal data. This is being reported by the Washington Post, by offering access to its full quote unquote fire hose, the massive stream of data comprising of more than 500 million tweets posted each day, according to a person familiar with the company's thinking. They say that this information could be provided as soon as this week. And what's kind of interesting is that they also note that currently some two dozen companies pay Twitter for access to this data. So if Twitter is already selling this data, I'm not sure what the, you know, huge hangup was with providing this to Elon. I think they had mentioned that maybe, you know, Elon's mention of starting a competitor was kind of holding them back from being willing to share this, which, you know, seems pretty reasonable. But it doesn't really mesh up well with what we'd heard Parag say previously when Elon had sort of requested more information on this, you know, almost a month ago now. Because at that time, Parag said, unfortunately, we don't believe that this specific estimation can be performed externally, given the critical need to use both public and private information, which we can't share. Externally, it's not even possible to know which accounts are counted as monthly daily active users on any given day. So saying it can't be performed externally, but at the same time, Twitter is selling this data that apparently is going to be used externally to figure this out with two dozen companies. So it doesn't really add up. The New York Times also reported on this today, kind of making that same point, saying it's not likely to help Elon reach Twitter's conclusion that 5% of its active accounts are fake, since the company uses a different methodology involving proprietary data and human analysis to get to that figure. So I think what's happening here is, my best guess is that Twitter kind of leaked this out and said like, hey, we're going to give Elon the data, but it's probably not exactly what Elon wants or potentially enough data for Elon to feel like he can make a conclusive, decision on what that percent of bots is, or a conclusive takeaway on what that percent of bots is. So again, just my best guess, but I'm guessing we'll probably see more, you know, debate and disagreement negotiation as this information is shared. But that's the latest with the Twitter deal. I don't think we've heard any response from Elon on that. All right, last couple of things here, just a couple of quick new pieces of news on the GigaPress. So we've got, let me make sure this is muted here, but we've got an update here from Idra. They just shared out some of the video of the assembly of the 9,000 ton GigaPress. So we haven't really seen it in all its glory quite yet, but we are seeing it here now with Idra sharing this video out. And of course, we walked through those pictures yesterday, but we can see some of the assembly here, just kind of giving you a feel for what needs to be done when Tesla actually receives the machine, and, you know, the disassembly process, obviously, if you take the steps in reverse. So it is pretty interesting to see this. Definitely a huge machine, as we have talked about. And it's going to be exciting to see Iger ship that out to Tesla, which isn't going to be, for probably another week or so at least, as Iger's open house for this machine runs through June 14th. So, despite that, apparently we do have a different Gigapress shipping from Idra. This was posted today on Twitter. I'll butcher the name there, but Patrick shared out a video of presumably a Gigapress. I'm not sure exactly how he's coming to this conclusion, but saying the Tesla Gigapress will be delivered to Berlin, and just sharing a quick video out of that process happening. There's some discussion here in this Twitter thread saying that maybe this would be a front casting machine for Giga Berlin, which I believe right now they have two Gigapresses there. So I think this would potentially be a third, but I haven't followed that extremely closely, so that's a little bit speculative. And of course, this is all covered up, so we can't, at least I can't necessarily confirm that this is actually a Gigapress, but obviously some huge equipment being transported here, and seems like there's some additional context that maybe is just missing a little bit from this Twitter thread. So good to see those on the way, and hopefully the 9,000 ton over to Texas pretty soon. And then lastly, for today, we've got kind of an update on just emissions in Europe. So the members of the European Parliament today voted to basically support the European Commission proposal to reach zero emission road mobility by 2035. Or in other words, reducing emissions by fleet-wide emissions, obviously at the tailpipe, by 100% compared to where things are at today, and reducing it by 2030 by 55% for cars and 50% for vans. So things have been trending in this direction for a long time. I think we've seen individual countries adopt, targets of similar variety, but it looks like this is moving towards a more official path. I don't exactly know the steps for European Parliament, but this does seem to have quite a bit of traction. So if anyone can help me out on that in the comments today, just kind of letting me know where this is at, would definitely appreciate that, and maybe we can follow up in tomorrow's episode. But that will do it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. Also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, June 9th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.